Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. This is another amazing show for the Voices of Courage audience. I'm so happy to be here with you today. You know, today we're going to talk about several topics, but one of the topics that are closest to my house and my world is foundational relationships. You know, it's been said that we become financially and also the way we think and the way we act, we become just like our closest six friends. Now, those closest six friends can be your family. They can be friends outside your family. They can be in work or wherever. But there's been a lot of science around this, right? Studying how relationships impact us and how they eat for the better or for worse, right? Some relationships are very empowering. They inspire you. They move you into a direction of your dreams. Other relationships you walk into and you feel like something has just been drained out of you. I bet you can relate to that. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to go into that. We're also going to be talking a little bit about how we judge ourselves and our relationships and how that impacts how we build our life. Whether it's a life filled with joy and happiness and love, or is it a life filled with stress and suffering and challenges all the time? Well, hopefully yours is the latter, but it may not be. And, you know, we have some deep conversations on this show. You know, this show is all about you. It's really for you to understand a little bit more about you, who you are as a soul, as a spiritual being, and how you can improve, grow, develop, and be the best version of yourself. And some of you are going, I don't want to be the best version of anything. That's okay. This show's for you also. We're just going to have a great, authentic conversation. So stay tuned. I have a very special guest today, and we'll take a deep dive into the subjects I just talked about as soon as we get back from this break. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm so glad you're with us today. Today, I have Diana Danvers Simmons.
Yes.
Diana, welcome. I almost missed the Simmons.
Yeah. Don't forget the last part of the name.
I don't want to forget the last part. And for those of you that don't know Diane, she's a woman of many titles. She's been a mother, an artist, an author, a world traveler, podcaster, social impact filmmaker, brand builder, Reiki master, an activist, an advocate, as a reformed international marketing and advertising executive. She leads a mission-driven life, aiming to share stories in both the written and visual mediums that shine a light and inspire humanity. She's a British native and an American transplant, and Diane brings a unique vision, wit, humor, heart, and candor to her storytelling. And we're going to be talking about her new book, My Mother Next Door, where all this applies. All right. So good to have you.
Thank you very much, Ken. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I am too. You know,
so many synergies.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's interesting, the shows or the discussions, the people you meet along the way with a book, because a book has its own life, its own journey. And just the words of, you know, judgment, uplifting, upshift, all those adjectives that you use are exactly what this book is about. It's about sharing a story of our foundational relationships and how they impact us.
Well, you know, My Mother Next Door, when I thought about that, and I thought about my books that I've written over the years, and I thought, you know, a lot of times books write us. We think we're writing a book, but they change us along the way. How did My Mother Next Door change you as you jumped into and started writing this book?
Well, first of all, I'd never written a book before. Okay. So that in of itself was quite the challenge. I'd written a lot of articles. I had been involved, you know, obviously involved in advertising, marketing, brand building. But I'd written a lot of articles specifically to empower women and help women look at subject matter through a different lens, through a fresh lens, which is really what this book is about. But I have to say, you know, this was the story that I never intended to write. I didn't want to. But every time I would share just a snippet of the story, people would go, oh my God, that's a book. You got to write that. Or, oh, I see that as a TV series. It would be hilarious. Because that's how I frame the story. I frame it with not just pathos, but with humor and clear observation. But it has. It impacted me while I was writing it. Emotions came out that I never expected. I mean, one minute I would be, because the book is written in the era of the 1970s, when growing up in England, I was lucky enough to have Monty Python and all these great comedians and comedy shows, very different from today. So I'd be laughing one minute about the story and then screaming at my mother the next minute, crying another minute. So it was incredibly cathartic, and I learned so much about her in the process, so much about myself, and saw the similarities that made me feel really good and the ones that I knew I had to watch.
Yeah.
And I found new appreciation. So, and even now, as the book evolves, there are so many layers to it, and there's so many layers to us. And so it's not a simplistic story of, you know, this is the core story. There's many stories, and that's what life's about. But it is a book I realized that I couldn't have written when I was younger, but I can write at this point of my life because I do have life experience. So it's even given me a whole new appreciation for aging.
I love that. Well, you know, I've been a life coach for 30 plus years, and I still do that. I still have a select group of clients I work with. I just love it, because a lot of times in that process, you know, of coaching process, right, I'm taking them down into layers of, you know, who they are, how they were impacted by their relationships, you know, especially moms and dads and, you know, family members. And at one point, what I like to have them do is list out all the characteristics you loved about your mom and dad, all the characteristics you didn't like, and then which one of those do you have, and which one have you resolved, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's almost that cathartic, that place we get to know each other by going through that. Sounds like the book, you went through that process, and you know, through storytelling.
I really did. And you know what's fascinating to me, Ken, as we speak, and this happens in every conversation, you know, something new spark. There's always a new nugget that comes into the conversation. But my mother was, and my father, a storyteller. And now I, in turn, have become a storyteller. But, you know, that the thing we forget, and this is back to the foundational relationship, our mother is our first understanding of any relationship, our first love. And we don't think of it that way. And so it is impactful. And, you know, part of the reason I wrote the story is because our mothers are also human beings who are flawed, who have lived life, who lived life before we were born, had dreams before we were born, when we were born, and then afterwards they still have dreams. So I think it's all important, but it also makes you stop and look at the choices you have to make for your own relationships with your own children. So my relationship with my daughter is very different.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I've done a lot of work with my mom and stuff, and I've come to the conclusion that if your parents haven't wounded you in some way, you probably haven't grown in the areas that you needed to grow in. If that makes any sense, you know? Because sometimes we judge our parents harshly by some of the wounds that were created. But the truth is, they were only doing their job.
It's so true. I mean, I think we briefly spoke about this before we came on air. I know I chose to be born to my mother to toughen me up for this world. Otherwise, I'd be a big softy that would be walking around and probably accomplish nothing. But she's the one who gave me the courage to say, this is what I want. This is what I want to do with my life, and to do things that otherwise I probably wouldn't have.
I love that. What is it in the book that you you shared earlier that there's things you didn't want to write about, right? So what, I'm sure my audience will go, what is that? What didn't she want to write about?
The whole story. I think, okay, I'm going to give the audience just a little clue because, you know, people look at the title and it's like, what do you mean, My Mother Next Door? So she really did live next door. So a week after my 16th birthday, you know, I come home from school Friday, Monty Python silly walks all the way home because our parents weren't coddling us and picking us up from school. And, you know, it was in the late 70s. Anyway, get home, normal cup of tea, talking to my mother about what had happened that week. And she turns to me and just says, I'm leaving you and your father tomorrow. I'm like, what? You know, okay, mom, you're always threatening to leave. But she was this, I call her a 4'11" Irish pistol who could literally cut you in two with the lash of her tongue, but then enlighten you in ways that would totally blow your mind. But anyway, I say, you know, what do you mean you're leaving? Where are you going? And she's like, next door. And I just, you know, as any teenager would do, like huff and puff, that's ridiculous, walk off, see my friends that night, don't think anything of it. Next day, come back from school, not from school, sorry, from my Saturday job, because we all had to have Saturday jobs to earn any money when I was growing up. Get home, empty house, no noise, no smells wafting from the kitchen, deathly silence. And I run upstairs, look in her wardrobe. Sure enough, all of her clothes, all of her shoes, on her dressing table, everything gone, all her face creams. So what do? I go next door and I leave number 49, walk right, and I mean right next door to number 47, knock on her door. She opens it. And I say, Mom, have you really done this? And she says, come in, come have a cup of tea. So we go into the formal living room and we sit and talk. And she tells me that she's done. She said, I've given you and your father 16 years of my life. You're big and ugly enough to take care of yourself. I'm done. And I said, well, how does Dad feel about this? What has he said? And she said, nothing. And I said, what do you mean, nothing? And she said, I haven't told him. What do you mean you haven't told him? And before I get to that punchline, what I actually left out was she'd moved next door with three hot college guys. She bought that house a couple of years beforehand, and she'd been renting it to three college guys, and she moved in. And I remember saying to her, I mean, this is, you know, you're kind of, is this a real moment? And you feel like, I felt like I was in the rafters watching this play, Shakespearean play, that I'm one of the players that doesn't even know my lines or what I'm meant to say. And she said, that I'm, you know, and I'm like, but you're going to be sharing a bathroom with three stinky guys. How can you do that? But
I love that. Diane, I've got to take a quick, okay. Hold that thought. Well, I love the thought, right? With the bathroom, three stinky guys. Hold the thought because I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hi, this is Kendi Foster, and I'll be right back with my guest, Diana. What a fascinating story, isn't it? Listen, this show grows as you share it, truly. this show grows really one or two viewer at a time, right? When you go out and share this with one or two people that you love, you know, have them subscribe to Facebook, to YouTube, and that's how we grow a show. So today, after you've listened to this amazing show, I encourage you to go out and share this show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and make a difference in someone else's life. Thank you so much. Okay, I love this story. I love this. Okay, so mom is like left. She's next door. She's at living in with three college guys. You're like, what the heck? It's like surreal.
Yep, it's totally surreal. And I'm thinking, am I the one that's meant to be running away from home, not my 61-year-old mother? So and this is the thing where I didn't know or understand what narcissism was at that point in my life. But I realized she did have that personality because she presented this is perfectly normal and this is why I'm doing this. But the punchline of this is when I say about my father, and she said, no, I haven't told him. I said, well, who's going to tell him? And she said, you are. Well, so that evening when my dad came home, walked in the house, again, no smells wafting from the kitchen, no crazy radio show playing, no noise. I'm sitting there waiting for him. And I had to tell my then, he was 76. Your old, which is a whole nother story, the backstory of elder parents who could be my grandparents. I had to tell him that mom had left us. And he didn't know.
So you're she's kind of put the pain of the family on you at that point. You're carrying the pain for the family. And now dad's gonna know. Yeah.
Which is a really, the way you phrase that is a really important point, because you think of generational burdens, trauma, whatever you want to call it, generational patterns. I had to make sure, and this was the trigger in writing this book after a trip to Morocco and a channeler saying something to me, that I couldn't allow that pattern of behavior to continue and have my daughter or her children carry that burden. And that's part of, our challenges in this life and awareness and being in tune and recognizing, listening to whatever messaging you're getting.
This is such an important point, Anna. And because families do create patterns. There's family patterns. And if you're, for instance, if your family is, it has a pattern of mom was divorced, grandma was divorced, there's a good chance that you've got that thinking inside of you, whether you're conscious of it or not.
Yes, it's very, very true. And, my parents were, my dad was 60 and my mother was 45 when they met and started dating. He was a widower with a 13-year-old. My mother had an 18 and a 14-year-old. They started dating. My mom had finally got her freedom. She'd been married for years. She divorced her husband, and as she would very proudly and fondly say, I'm a heathen in the eyes of the Catholic Church these days, but I had to make this choice, which was an important lesson for me, to knowing you have to make your own choices and live with them and think about how they impact everyone around you in the family. So that was trying to bring to, suddenly they're pregnant with me, so they have to get married and they're blending a family. But I also blended a family. I have my stepchildren. Yeah. I have my own children, but I did it different way that my mother did.
So there was, your mom brought, you know, brought that wound to you, and then it was your, it was up to you to either heal that or repeat the pattern.
Right.
You discuss that in the book.
Exactly.
You discuss that, Pete? Yes.
Yes. In my intro, I talk about the experience of my daughter, you know, you mentioned Deepak earlier. I was in my late 40s, which I think many, many women go through, standing at this crossroads of what's going on in my life. My children are now, you know, high school or going off to college, which my daughter was. What do I want for the next 30 years, 40 years? And questioning my own marriage, my own relationship. But I was so conscious of the way my mother had handled that and the vow I made at 16 never to do unto my children what my mother had done to me. It wasn't so much she left, it was the way she did it and the and the weight she put on me.
So you know, it's so we're putting, by the way, the name of the book is My Mother Next Door. It's on the screen. My listening audience, My Mother Next Door. Where can they get My Mother Next Door, Dad?
It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores. If you go in, you can order it from your bookstore, your local bookstore. I always like to plug local bookstores. But Amazon, of course, it's also available as an audiobook on Spotify, on Audible, every platform. And I've narrated it myself because I think it's really important to share your own story in your own voice.
Well, I know I'm going to have to pick it up. You know, my, and I don't share my personal life too much on air, but sometimes I do. But anyway, my mom also left when I was 16. Didn't tell me, didn't tell anybody, right? You know, the only thing she told me 2 years earlier is that I'm not happy in my marriage, and if I leave, I'll take you with me. So I found out, you know, I think my dad let me know, she had left. But it wasn't about the leaving. It was about how she left.
Exactly.
Like you just said. That was an appointment. Exactly. Let's talk about that. So how did that impact you, how she left? As opposed to maybe having a conscious conversation around it so you knew what was coming. How would have that impacted you differently?
You know, I think it was, my mom was always threatening to leave or admitting she wasn't happy or comfortable. Probably the previous 2-3 years before it happened, I remember she was a very independent woman who had run businesses, worked before she married my father. And then she married someone who was a very traditional man, didn't want his wife working. And I remember the time she was going back to work. She didn't tell him. And when he found out, he stopped her. And that's when I saw the dominoes fall. But what it did for me is it took me to be very aware of what I say to my kids, that there is a certain amount you need to share, but you can't share every single emotion and put that, again, that word burden, that burden on them of them feeling responsible for that. Because they do.
You know, so a lot of parents try to make their kids their best friend. And I think they over, you know, they say everything to them and let them know everything. And, you know, they do this from the time they're, you know, very young until, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you have this person that doesn't know how to function in society because they've carried the pain of the family.
Right. And I think that's really important because I had to distance myself from a lot of her emotions. And I had to why did I end up coming to America to run away from her shenanigans, let alone for business and opportunity? But that was an underlying part of it. But I learned pretty quickly how to really become this vessel that she would say one thing to me and my dad might say another, but I learned never to run to the other one with the negative side of that, because I saw how that would just fester the wound and things could blow up. So
I love that. Listen, I got to take a break. I got to take another break. But when we come back, I'd like to take a little deeper dive into that piece, because I think that's a piece that a lot of people don't get that piece when you're going back and forth. You know, I'll explain it when we get back. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm talking with Diane Danvers Simmons today. We're talking about her new book, her first book, My Mother Next Door, which is a powerful write. And we're talking about that piece where, you know, it's interesting, especially in family dynamics, where you go to one person and you hear their point of view and you take that point of view totally on. Then you go to another person, you hear that point of view, you take that point totally on, and you're like, well, which one's right, which one's wrong? But if you share those points of view with the other one, now what happens, Diane?
Well, and that's the point. It's the art of being the go-between and the diplomat in the family. And I'm a Libra, so luckily I have those skills.
I'm a Libra too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, good to know.
Good to know.
A lot of synergy going on here, Ken. A lot of synergy. I think because I grew up in this crazy big family where I had... My mother didn't like my father's daughter. My father didn't like my mother's son. I, as a little girl, learnt or maybe absorbed. Maybe it's, you know, we're so much purer when we come into this world, and our ability to accept anyone. But we know the bullshit when we see it when we're little. Do you know what I mean?
We do. And there's that judgment piece that's in there. Dad is judging this son to be this way. Mom is judging the daughter to be this way.
And it's,
this is who you are. We're identifying them as
that's
as people.
Yeah. And that's part of it as well. Cause, you know, I talked about that era in my late 40s where I'm really revisiting and reviewing everything. I remember Deepak, I was at one of his, programs, when it really was him and there were only 60 of us in the room and we were doing all these. I learned to meditate.
Chopra? Yes. Is that what we're saying? Deepak Chopra.
And who I learned so much from, and I'm glad I went in those early days.
Me too.
But it's never about you. Someone is projecting their fears, their baggage, whatever that is, onto you. So I kind of came to understand that as a child. And what I saw when someone said something, a lot of it is modeling and observation and this simple aspect of just tuning into yourself and trusting that gut of what feels right. And I would look at situations as to how is he or she treating me? Not the words they're using, but the actions. And so that's probably why I could handle it. But I also was very sensitive. And I always say that my upbringing set me up for the corporate world. And, you know, I could be in any boardroom with 16 men and feel all women, whoever it was. But back then it was primarily men in the advertising world, and feel confident using my voice and working out things, because I'd had to do that. And I think it's such an important part of what we don't do enough these days. It's just listening and
watching our thoughts. You know, what came to me this morning, this little affirmation, it It said, you may control mad elephants. You may shut the mouth of a bear and a tiger, ride a lion and play with a cobra. By alchemy, you may learn your livelihood. You may wander through the universe incognito, make vassals of the gods, ever be youthful. You may walk in water and live in fire. But to control a mind is better and more difficult.
It is. And it's a, you know, I've even had it in my later life where there's been situations where someone said something to me and you listen to it and you think, that really doesn't make any sense to me. And then it's always how you then go into the next conversation in a thoughtful way that says, I have to address this, but I don't have to beat the person up in the process. You know, I have to find the honesty in this. And I think that's, you know, I talk a lot about observation and the choices we make. And I actually, at the beginning of the book, I'm just going to read you this quote. It's in my intro. Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it's faced, James Baldwin. And I say that because it's how we face things. It's how we're willing to dive deep, try and understand. And even in writing this book, you know, I'd tell the story and people would laugh. People always laugh when I say, you know, I'm 16 movie next door, three hot college guys. Everyone's like, whoa, that movie.
Yeah.
But I wrote it because the automatic response is, oh, God, what a bitch. What a horrible mother. And I'm like, no. Mm. She was a good foundational mother. You have to go to her backstory, understand her story, why she did the things she did before you can make any judgment. Because she left home, left Ireland at 16 to start a new life in England on her own. So she thought I was prepared and ready in her mind.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's what it is. It's just,
you know, there's another aspect of this book, and you know, it's the part, it's your journey, and it's also the journey of forgiveness that one has to take to be real, to be authentic, to be able not to carry the pain the rest of your life or to cast it on. There has to be that forgiveness piece. Let's talk about that a little bit. Well, you know, I have to take another break, but when we get back, let's talk about the forgiveness piece.
Absolutely.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and I'm talking with Diane Danvers Simmons about her new book, My Mother Next Door. Forgiveness. You know, how did you get to that point where, you know, and it did the writing of the book, you know, help you with that? Or let's just talk about, because a lot of people have a hard time forgiving, you know, when their mom leaves.
Absolutely.
You know, I know my sister, when my mother left, that took years to heal. So
yeah.
How did you,
you know,
about that?
And it's kind of a, I'm going to give a two-pronged answer to this, because there's the process and then what I actually wrote in the epilogue at the end of the book. Because I asked the question at the beginning of the book, why and what has forgiveness got to do with this story anyway? And everything would be my answer. So I had thought I had forgiven my mother. I didn't have time. When it happened, you know, I'm 16, I'm doing my O levels, I'm in school, I'm suddenly thrown into this situation of having to cook, keep house, do all these other things. I was a total princess until that moment. So maybe just as well it happened, because I learned a lot. But I was about 30 and I'd moved to America. And I went to this astrologer, channeler, medium, incredible guy. He works all over the world. And he said to me, I was very irritated by my mother at that point. I felt she was trying to intersperse herself into aspects of my life that I didn't want her in and I didn't need her in my opinion. And so he said, forgive, just forgive in your heart from a distance. And then the actual reason, so that's that first part, thought I had taken care of that aspect. And then when my daughter was 18, first year of college, we were having our own issues of, you know, again, that whole dynamic, mother-daughter dynamic is changing. She's grown as a woman. And I took her on a trip to Morocco, of all places, to explore. And the first night there, a lot of stuff happened, which is in the book, so I won't go into it. But the key part of that story is I'm sitting next to this German lady and her Turkish husband, and this is at dinner, and everyone had left, and we're talking over a glass of rosé, and she says to me, you need to forgive your mother. I'm like, what? You don't even know me. What do you need? And she goes, I'm just channeling, and this has come to me. She said, I don't know, but you need to forgive your mother. And if you don't, your daughter will carry the burden.
Yeah.
And as she said that, I said, okay, you know, this is important. I need to investigate this. But she said to me, because you are a mirror for all women and you need to start sharing your stories. So then I started to write the book. And, you know, there is a wonderful quote that I found as I was writing the book, and it's the purpose of forgiveness is to reestablish our humanity by Westmore. And so I asked, what does that mean to myself after I finished the book? And I think there's three key things. One, it's the courage to accept that there are things, people that you cannot change in your life that is out of your control. So how are you going to move forward with that? The second is it does allow us to move forward with a better knowing and understanding. And it makes me smile because these are all, again, adjectives that you use in your own show a lot. And it really is a new dawn, which enables us to feel whole and in control of our choices and move forward, because we have the choice, you know. Our beginning is kind of written for us, and we don't have a lot of control over that. But our life as we move forward, we do have control over that. So it's all about your choice to take those lessons, the good, the bad, the ugly, and how to move forward. And also, I think this is one of the most profound things that I learned through this is, people love and show their love in different ways. And it's what they're capable of. And not everyone is capable of showing love in the same way, of the Hollywood version of love. Because that isn't really real.
That makes a lot of sense. And a lot of people, you know, I think there's a big piece here for some of us, especially if you've been taught to be, you know, a giver.
Right.
Okay. Which is good things in giving. That's good. But sometimes if you are an overgiver, you don't know how to receive. How to receive love, then you're missing about 50% of your life at least. Right.
Yeah.
There's a piece there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a huge piece. I know it's even hard at times for me to receive compliments.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, this whole feeling whole once you forgive, and just this weight that's lifted is huge.
Yes.
And it's so important for well-being.
And, you know, part of that, I think, when that weight is lifted off, so for some, it's like taking a dark pair of sunglasses off you never knew you even had on. Because you see life differently.
Exactly. And we can bury and bury and bury, but the body does hold on. I mean, people have written books about that. And you feel it.
Yeah.
And it comes out. It will manifest itself in some form or another. And you see it on people's faces as they get older, people who have not dealt with these traumas, these experiences, they carry it in their face and their body. And so it's a case of letting go. And it's like, what purpose does it serve to just say stuck? It serves absolutely no purpose other than unhappy.
Well, I think sometimes people feel like if they don't forget, then it'll never happen to them again. But it's not that easy,
right?
Because what we're talking about is letting go of the energy around it. It's not about letting go of your memory. You can have your memory, but letting go of that.
Oh, and very important not to forget. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's important not to forget, but important to let go of the energy. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Wow.
And
well, okay, listen, I've got just a couple more minutes left here. And okay. So let's kind of summarize it all. First of all, I'll summarize this way. If you haven't got excited about the book, then get excited, because this is a book that can help you change your own trajectory with your family, with the way that you view your family and the family dynamics that are going on for you, your parents, your siblings, your grandparents, that type of thing. That's really what this deep dive is about today. You can get My Mother Next Door at bookstores everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever they can order for you. So that's step number one. Step number two is I wanted to let everybody know that they can also go to your website. And can you give us the address there so I don't mess it up? What is it?
This is actually my email, okay. diane@nduunfiltered.com.
Okay.
And the website is Mothers and Daughters Unfiltered, because my daughter and I created a podcast while I was writing this book of intergenerational conversations and how you can have them and how important they are. And the importance there, the message there, is me listening to her, not just me talking to her, listening to her.
You know that, I mean, I could go on and on with that, but I'm out of time. But just the fact that you're listening changes everything. It changes everything.
It does.
All right. Well, Diane, Danvers, Simmons, much success.
Those English names.
Love the S's. Danvers, Simmons. I'm like, that's cool. In the United States, you probably cut off the S's, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's
all the M's or U, whatever.
That makes it flow. All right. Much success to you and much success of this book. And thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ken. I've really enjoyed our conversation. And I hope it helps people. And we also do a workshop, my daughter and I, with mothers and daughters.
Wow. I love that. All righty. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today also on the Voices of Courage show. This is a show that helps you to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. All you have to do is listen to the show once a week, and it will help you to change your thinking in ways that will help you master your life and have much more joy and happiness. Till next time, take care.